Welcome to the Complete Cobblers Podcast.
Well, welcome to episode 3 with me, Dave Lawler.
And me, John Rhodes.
And yeah, listening figures up again, countries being listened to up again. It's brilliant. And quite a few people liked the first segment of the charity interview with Lashman Singh. So yeah, we'll play the second part of the interview with Lash.
And as soon as we got some indoor premises, it were only a cellar, and it were in an Anglican chaplaincy opposite the university in Bradford. And then a guy come and painted it for us, and another guy come and put his huge mural on. And then we begged some money and got some tables and chairs and stuff. A mate of mine did scrap, and they cleared some school kitchens out, so he gave us a load of pans. When I say pans, I mean giant pans from school dinners. So lots of people started giving us things. And as we went on from there, and then because there were only us and the Muslim Eid Committee doing the food, and then we had people from Queensbury, you know who they are, don't you, Dave?
Yeah. She was a friend of my sister's,
Adrienne.
And Lucian Gill.
They came and joined us and started doing a night from the Roman Catholic and Christian side.
Yeah.
So then there were three of us, three different organisations. And then if that weren't enough, then some more people come from a Hindu temple up Leeds Road that started doing food. And then another group come from the Sai Baba group at Lidget Green. And if that weren't enough, then people started supporting us and giving us tinder food and other goods. And we couldn't cope at times. We had to get some premises at Carlisle Business Centre for storage because we were just overloaded with stuff.
It really mushroomed then. How many people were you feeding then?
We were feeding on average, sod's law this, like, you average about 60, 70, sometimes more. If you took food for 100, you'd only end up about 30 turning up. If you took it for 30, 80, 90 would turn up.
Yeah.
So you never know. End up giving them seconds and you end up giving them stuff to take away because you really don't want to put it back in the freezers or anything.
No.
So it just mushroomed from there. People giving us all sorts of donations and money. And then as time went on in a short period, because Lucian was very advanced in the job that he does, and people come with greater knowledge as they joined us, we ended up registering the charity at Bradford Curry Project.
Yeah.
So we registered at Company's House, and also the charity, it's registered under Charities Commission as well, under the same name.
Yes, yeah.
And it's still going. This year, it'll be 30 year old this year.
That's so amazing. If you're ever sat in a pub with Lash, and he says, yeah, got this idea, what you
might get roped in.
Just take him seriously, because he'll be knocking on the door next morning.
You certainly can come from a community area with that one. I mean, just to start that, from such a small thing, and to get so many faiths involved in that, you know.
They just came because a lot of people wanted to do charity work, but they didn't have a structure in place.
Yeah.
So Dave and I set this structure in place.
Wow.
And then because it was already there and set up, they were able then to come across and start doing their own thing.
Yeah.
And as they came, they had lots of helpers, you know, in the community as well, so there were a lot of backup.
So the Curry Project's nearly 30 year old.
In summer, it'll be 30 year old in summer.
Wow, 30 years ago, seems like yesterday to me. Yeah, brilliant. And then the final episode next week will be how the Curry Project morphed into the Bradford Metropolitan Food Bank. Cool. Right. Okay, Jim, what's next?
Now, it's something on here that's intriguing me. It says shoplifting the wrong way.
Yeah, what's all that about?
Oh, I thought you were
I did put that on there. That must have been sent in.
Shoplifting the wrong way?
I don't know. What's the right way?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do know what this is about.
All right, go on then.
This is about that the use comes on to artificial intelligence as well. I'm watching this programme, and now instead of having these security guards watching monitors all the time,
yeah,
they have computer programmes that watch people go around the shops.
Yes.
And analyses how they work and how they walk. So if you walk up and down an aisle, if you keep picking stuff up, going back to an expensive aisle, coming back, it then warns the security guards that your behaviour classes you as being likely to be a shoplifter.
Yeah.
And I think it was Lindsay who'd seen it one night about this Asian guy who dressed nice, this, that and the other, gone in this shop, and he'd been up and down the aisles looking for whatever he's looking for. And all of a sudden he's got like these security guards following him around. And they stopped him and he's like, "What's going on?" And they're like, "You're shopping the wrong way. We think you're shoplifting," kind of thing.
Right.
Which I don't know the full story of it, but I'd watch this programme. So I'm thinking that whenever I'm in co-op, after about 3 minutes it goes, everything is security recorded in this shop for your safety and stop shoplifting. It's always when I'm in. So I think, because I don't go in knowing what I really want. So I'll go for custard because I know I want one thing. And then I think, oh, I forgot to get trifle sponges, or I forgot to get that. So I go around shop 7 times. And then I get frustrated and think, oh, I don't want that anymore. So I just put it down anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I think that when I go in the shop, this artificial intelligence sort of kind of says, he's nicking.
Yeah, yeah.
So now a lot of the time I just put everything down and walk back out if I start to feel that I'm being, there's a presence.
Right.
Apart from the steaks I've got under my coat. I mean,
Put all cheap stuff down.
Yeah. Joking. So, I think that's what the shoplifting. So, basically, it should have been shopping the wrong way.
Right, right, right.
So, if you go shopping, don't go back up and down expensive aisles.
I can't really afford expensive aisles, to be honest with you. Anyway, coming back to feedback and people messaging through the socials, we got an email from John in Canada this week. Marvellous. Thanks for listening from all that way away. And he said, the show's great, absolutely loving it. Like your accents, really. But he said the... original punk guy you went to school with sounds like a real laugh. Well, he was your money.
I mean, as I would, obviously, Rhodes and Eddie was Reedy, and the first day of form where you're all being put in, sitting next to whoever's alphabetically next to you, and I'm looking at this guy who's a lot older, or looked a lot older than he is. What were we, 14, 15, somewhere? He'd already got beard and stubble and all this, and I'm thinking, God, he looks like a monster, and I was quite a chump. Angelic little child. I thought, oh, I hope he's nowhere near me. And then they went, Reedy. And it was a blank desk. And then Rhodes. And I was sat next to him. And I was cacking myself. But you know what? It turned out to be one of the nicest guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when we did that donation thing to collect money for form teachers leaving present, we bought him as like a 60-odd quid razor, which we got him for Mr. Henry. And we'd been collecting, everybody were giving 10p, 20p, 30p. And we got to about 30 quid or something, which was good anyhow for us. And then Eddie just pulled up this wad of 20 quid notes and just banged 20 quid in and went, yeah, get that. Make sure you get them somewhere.
Yeah, but God knows where that 20 quid came from.
No.
I mean, he got locked up, didn't he? He never made end of fifth form.
Oh, did he not?
He got put in like an open prison.
Oh, right.
And, but like you were saying, it could be, you wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of him, but it was sound to people who were in his form. So how it used to work back in the day was, you'd got streams, you know, for your classes. Ridiculous, but Airstream, etc. But the very first, your very first class in the morning was your form, and it was a complete mixture of streams. So everybody from every different level sort of intelligence, if you like. And he would always sound with people who were in his form.
Yeah.
But so why I can remember he got locked up for whatever reason, and he's in this open prison as a youth prison, you know, because he'd have still been like 15 or something. And then walking through, going for my bus in Innichie, and he's coming the other way, and I'm thinking, he's supposed to be locked up. And he, all right, Eddie. Right, Lola, how's it going? And I said, I thought you were like locked. Oh, he says, yeah, I've done a runner. And he says, and in fact, he says, you ain't got any money, have you? He says, I'm brassic. And I was like, yeah, hang on, I don't know, let's have a look. So I'm looking. And then he went, oh, no, don't bother, don't worry. And he went, Erdos, come here, little shit. And he like picked him up and shook his pockets out. Took all his money off of him, and then he was like, go on, bugger off. And then he went, just turned back round like nothing had happened. And said, how's things always everyone?
Poor Danny Erdos, that's another one.
But he's passed away now, hasn't he, Eddie Reed?
Yeah,
what a character. Do you remember when we used to have to do every flipping year, and show would do Caritas Pax Nereditio for 3 days? Everybody had to go into assembly. You had to stand, and each one were like 30, 40 minutes long. So the school motto Caritas Paxner did it, so you need to do a day on each, world's most boring thing. And then I could see Joe Henry and everybody looking, what's going on? Because Reedy had come in and it was stood right near Earnshaw, right in front of lectern, because you could choose where to stand. Like, see Joe looking a bit and doing that. He used to do that with his lip. And anyhow, next thing, he took his hat off and he had bright pink spiky hair. And he was right in front of, right in front of Earnshaw and went, and they all dived on him and like Earnshaw were going crazy. And they dragged him out and then told him, you know, sort your hair, you don't come back in here like that. So next day, packs, Reed is at front. And his hair's back to brown, normal sort of length. Joe's manically looking at him again. Why is he stood in front of her show? All of a sudden, he just pulls hair off and bald. He shaved all his hair off. They all dived on him again. They were hilarious for that.
I thought you were going to say, he was stood next to me in assembly once when we were all lined up. And there was a smell of Yoo-Hoo around, or other glues are available. And he just went and face planted floor and bounced up three times, and his face boing, boing, boing. And I'm just still there. And then there must have been 4 to 6 of the masters came. Trying to lift him because he were a big lad, not fat, he would just be, and they were dragging him out and he were a dead weight. And I'm just stood there like, well, me, I didn't hit him.
Honestly, when he came into assembly, and especially if he went anywhere near front, they were all just like, oh my God, what's he, you know, they're all just like watching him. But
did something about his, we had to say about the Jesus being arrested and all that, and Eddie's, there was a song that out at the time, the Sweeney's doing 80 on the M1 motorway.
Kill for cats.
Yeah. And that's what, Eddie said happened to Jesus, basically, that the Sweeney were doing 80 and they found him and arrested him and named all these bits of this song, and they said it was really cool for the disciples and all this kind of stuff. And I remember, I don't know, it must be Joe, because Joe did RE.
Yeah, and he
were like, Eddie, she's not, and I could see him laughing like, what?
Yeah, Eddie Reader, God bless his soul. We could make a whole podcast about him. Anyway, talking about school.
Look at this then, ZX81, Spectrums and Commodores.
Right. Now, I believe we were at different angles, because I was into this ZX81, the 80 and the Spectrum.
Yes, all right.
I thought you went Apple Commodore and 60.
No, I tended to buy all sorts of shit. I had a Dragon 32.
Oh, yeah.
I think I had a BBC.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I bought... Get this. So over the summer holiday, before we went to sixth form, I ordered out of a magazine a ZX80.
It was the white one.
But it turned up as a ZX81, and it were like, oh, you know, this is a late same price, and you can have this and all that, which seemed like a good idea. But if I'd still got the ZX80, it'd be worth a bob or two. But I mean, and they were crazy. They had 1K. Memory, 1K.
I bought the 16K plug-in,
which then tipped your bloody,
then it tipped
it was so
it
badly
over,
designed it tipped the whole computer over.
I mean, it was the size of a small bag of sugar,
and then the Spectrum, it started getting a bit
then
better.
The Spectrum had the keys,
the rubber keys, and games that you loaded with a tape. Horace goes skiing,
and all you did for 3/4 an hour will listen to and it go like 90% loaded, and then it goes and you're like, no way.
And can you remember having to, when we did computer science, so that we were the first people to do that A level course. It would never been a thing. So in 1981 we embarked on the computer science A level course, and Cassidy, the teacher who was a maths teacher, he'd only just kind of got qualified to be able to teach it. I could just remember everybody shining up flowchart stencils and watches and that back in the day.
Cassidy. To be fair, he used to go to my mum's church, and my mum and were good friends with his wife and everything, so I had to be careful at school because obviously stuff got back.
Oh, it was so bad. And even when, so it was funny that whenever he turned his back, everyone would shine the flow charts, getting the sun and the watches, and it'd all be sparkling off his head.
Yeah.
But then they started getting brave and doing it when they were looking at you. So he'd be talking to you when all you could see was stuff bouncing off his head, and you were like, but yeah, he Well, he did. I don't know how he got qualified to teach it, but he basically had a big book and he gave you a problem to solve and you had to go write the code and then you had to do it on the mainframe computer thing. And
yeah,
then
that will link down into Bradford.
Yeah, and then you had to, and it was an old teletype writer thing, yeah, from war, yeah, wasn't it? And then you had to print off the solution that it worked and all that. I was fairly good at computers. And yeah. So I'd done this, it given this problem one day, I can't remember what it was, and I'd written the code. And when I come into class and they handed it out, I looked at it, and they give me like D, red pen without D minus. I said, what's all that about? And he said, nowhere near enough lines of code. And I said, what are you talking about? And he had this example,
yeah,
in his book, this is the answer. And I had a third of the lines of code. He said, you know, it can't possibly work. I said, well, try looking at the results. And all the results were spot on. And he was saying to me, well, how have you done that? So he didn't really have a great concept of, he was just like, this is the question, this is the answer.
Yeah, the class results weren't that good in the A level, were they? I think there were only two.
Me
people.
And you?
Yeah, me and you. There we were, only two passed it.
Only two passed it and went on to have fish shops.
Yeah, fish shops, podcast of its own. But anyway, one of the things on the list is AI. Yeah, well, like you mentioned AI.
Well, this it does bring us on to the AI, which is another suggestion, artificial intelligence. Well, do you know that in China, see how bad it is in China? So, you know, they've got even more cameras than us and proper high tech. So they can visually recognize, facially recognize anyone, right, at all. And they know, so you're on camera, it knows who you are, it knows where you live, da da da. And if you jaywalk, bang, you come home, there's a fine. You spit, bang, you come home, there's a fine. And they're just monitoring the population the whole time and auto-firing out fines to them. They arrive home and, you cross the road here and you should have crossed at a zebra crossing. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just going a bit far, isn't it?
And yeah. What do you think? Do you know much about artificial intelligence? We could do with some just normal intelligence between.
Yeah, us, like, yeah. But to be fair, I'm just thinking anybody I know is intelligent. All I know is that Tesla cars and all this stuff, and cars that are going to drive themselves, can't happen because there's always somebody who's going to run out at the last minute, or there's going to be somebody who does this, or.
Well, here's the thing, though. This is the crazy bit, right? They're sort of developing. My car drives me around bend because it would break and it'll bleep and break and swerve.
Yeah, mine does, yeah.
It drives me around the apps. And I've tried to turn off as much as I can, but there's certain stuff you just can't turn off. It will suddenly break for you. It'll.
Yeah.
I was taking, when Jacob were working in Leeds, and I was giving him a lift and I'd go around Leeds Ring Road and he'd do different shifts. I'm coming out fairly late, say 11 o'clock at night, so around Leeds Ring Road, and it had absolutely torrential rain. And literally, so it's dual carriageway, but the inner lane was like flooded, you know, or a good half of the inner lane. It was really, there was just water. So there were no cars about, but the inner lane were flooded. So I'm like straddling the white line. And cars pulling me into flood, and I'm getting myself, and it's pulling me back into flood. And it's just crackers. There's no, it's the opposite of being safe.
Yeah. Mine did that today. I'd set up back up Bingley Bypass, and you can hold it, this button, and it'll turn it off. But I hadn't turned it off because I was moving across the lane, and it went like that. It was as if a passenger had pulled a steering wheel back across. So I pulled it back, but then it had stopped pulling. So I double compensated and nearly went in.
It's crazy, isn't it? And I don't use it because I don't like it, but it's got something called e-pedal, so it's fully electric car. And if you put it on that, and you set like your cruise control, or you know, maximum speed 40, 50, whatever, and you just take your feet off altogether and you just steer, and in traffic it if the traffic slows down, your car slows down. If it comes to a stop, it comes to a stop. Traffic sets off, yeah. It sets off. And it has got lane assist. It would even steer, but it doesn't like you taking... If your ends are off for 10 seconds, yeah, it starts
that's what mine says.
But this thing would literally... You know, feet, it'll literally drive you, just steer the thing around. And you think, what's the point of having a bloody kit? You know, like, yeah. There were a driving experience.
Yeah, what was it? I mean, that Capri I had, when gear stick used to come out, and you'd have gear stick in your hand, and you'd have to look down, you could see it rolled, and you'd be, like, trying to get it back into where it went. I mean, that was fun. That was what driving were about.
Well, yeah, do you remember I had that bright blue yard brush finish, outspan finish, it was a Capri, but with long bubble bonnet, you know, like professionals. Oh, no, yeah. They were new. They were oldest style, 1600 GT. I thought I were bee's knees. But that, the bloke who sold me that, he drove. I should have done test drive, learned by my mistake, but I didn't. He drove around, and I'm like, yeah, it's all right. And crass, £200 or something. Yeah, here you go. And cheers, and he were off. And then I thought, I took it round the block, and I put it in third, and it went and spat itself back out of third. And I put it in it, and there were no synchromesh on third, it wouldn't go in. Yeah, I go from second to fourth and all that. And when I sold it, I didn't let bloke have a test drive. I had my hand on it when it were in. If you kept your hand on it in third, it'd stay in. And
well, mine used to come out because all it had were like a little flange that were just tapped in round it.
Yeah.
So you normally on M606. Yeah. Like knock it and he'd be like, oh god, I can't change gear, hang on a minute. So when I sold it, I Haroldited it in and glued. I got some off Eddie Reed, so glued some glue. Which all relates back to, like, you remember when Danny Erdos came to school in that Fiat that year?
Oh, didn't you do something with his points or something? Allegedly, somebody switched all HT leads around.
They did, I actually saw that happen, and I was...
Which shows you, because I think the guy either went to Oxford or Cambridge, didn't he?
I don't know.
But he couldn't forget to fix his car.
But I think it was also the fact that all his wheels were rattling, because I don't think I was involved in that, but somebody put gravel in his hubcaps. I might have been involved in that one as well.
Do you know what chat GPT is? Does that mean anything to you?
ChatGPT. No.
So that's this open source artificial intelligence, what would you say, resource programming. I mean, it's crazy. I think it's got Google worried, like, are people just going to use that instead of... So you can ask it any question and it'll give you a unique answer. And even you can tell it, like, so, you know, people have worked hard to become, we talked about computer programming and all that. So you can say to it, can you write me a program in Java or C++ that does this, that, blah, blah, and it goes, yeah, sure. And it just, all the code's there. People are going to, like, stop using solicitors. So, well, bollocks to that, I'll just ask ChatGPT to knock my defense up for me. It's crazy. Yeah, I'll show you.
It's an app, is it?
Yeah, so you literally ask it. So one of the topics on here says vaping, doesn't it? So tell us, vaping, what's vaping all about?
Vaping is basically using an electronic device like an e-cigarette to inhale and exhale vapor. This vapor is produced from a liquid that usually contains nicotine, flavorings, and other chemicals. It's kind of like an alternative to smoking cigarettes.
You can literally ask it anything, and so they're like flapping, like universities. Kids are saying, can you write me a thesis based on this? And then it gives you an answer, and then you can look at it and say, doesn't quite sound like me. Could you say here and there, putting things like this?
Yeah.
And it'll go, okay, I'll write it again. And each time the content is completely unique, and it's just made it up.
Right.
So it's writing code, and it's teaching itself,
right?
And yeah, that's what they call it, ChatGPT. And that's, you know, who is it? Elon Musk, who was originally at the front of it all, you know, the Tesla guy. He petitioned everybody to stop developing AI. He likes links, well, it's end of the world stuff.
Yeah,
So, the curdle competition. We've had some guesses. Let's read some out. Erin in Perth in Australia, my guess for the five-letter word is mouse. Well, the E is in the correct position. It's correct in the right position. The S is in the wrong position. Everything else is wrong. Mike in Halifax guessed bless. There is an S, but it's in the wrong position. And the E is in the wrong position. Everything else is wrong. And Tim in California guessed green. There is an E. So we'll keep going with that one and until it's guessed correctly. Oh, sugar. We haven't done a factoids or a joke. Quick joke then. I went to see the doctor and he said to me, you need to stop masturbating. And I said, why? And he said, I'm trying to examine you. Yeah, definitely. It's good night from me.
Thank you and good night from me.
You've been listening to the Complete Cobblers Podcast. Get involved. Leave us a voice note on Messenger or Instagram or via the website completecobblers.com.